And returning to our earlier story, the aunt of one of the first complainants in the Peter Alice sex abuse case accepts the legal process was flawed, but believes the former teacher is still guilty. The child in her family was interviewed by police, but was not one of the children Alice was found guilty of abusing. Today, the Supreme Court quashed Peter Alice's child abuse convictions for two main reasons: flawed evidence from an expert witness, and the jury was not properly informed about the significant risk of evidence from the children being contaminated, including from by the parents. I asked the aunt how her family and others were dealing with the court ruling.
It's mixed. We're kind of defeated in one respect. In another way, look, all of us knew how difficult it is, even with adult witnesses, in those kind of thresholds in sexual offending trials to get a guilty conviction. So they were always very high hurdles, legal threshold hurdles. We've always known, whatever the decision is, what happened, and that is that children were hurt and harmed, and this doesn't change that. I think it's pretty important to get for us to get across that the miscarriage of justice reported relates to the fairness of the trial procedure, which is intricate, and related to the skill of probably counsel on both sides and expert witnesses at the time. None of that's got anything to do with the evidence that the children gave, which was upheld by juries and courts and judges. So I guess parents and survivors are just living with their own realities, really. That's where we're at. I've got a few reactions coming, and I guess it's up and down through the day.
Do you mean from other families you've been speaking with who are involved in the case?
Yeah, I have. Other families, I've had some reactions from court families whose convictions have now been overcome. They said that, you know, a legal decision just leaves out so much of the emotion and years of helping their children to recover, and, you know, the nights of lying with their child while they're telling what happened. It's not a question of direct questioning. You're getting up in the night to a screaming child having a nightmare, being violently ill, telling you things. And people call that interfering with the judicial process, that kind of thing. So kids hiding under beds, frightened so that Peter couldn't find them, that kind of thing. Families live with that, and nothing about this decision changes any of that today for those, for families.
So there's a lot in this, and I want to start with some of the things that you've said. So you accept the findings of the court that it was a flawed investigation and a flawed trial process. But I want to be clear, you still believe that children were abused here?
Absolutely, absolutely. Nothing about that changes. The criticism of the trial process in the judgment, I've read the condensed version. I'll pay some attention. I have legal training, so I'm very interested in quite a few aspects of this. It was into the expert witnesses. That's not the children, and that's not the children's life and experience. It was into those threshold legal, safe judicial processes. With the benefit of hindsight, I myself am actually very, I won't say encouraged, but I feel spoken to and comforted by the court's final comment. It says, as noted previously, that parents were in an impossible position. Parental love and concern would have made it very difficult to ask their children direct questions. As I say, it wasn't direct questions often. It was just dealing with what any parent would have to deal with. The delays in completing the investigation, associated public controversy, exacerbated these factors. It really did. It really did. You know, I was there. It was dreadful. We were told have to be absolutely keep a lid on everything with the media. So the media made friends, and we couldn't. And, yeah, families just dealt with their family situation.
One of the main issues identified here was the potential contamination of the children's evidence, including from parents' questioning. With a hindsight, is it possible that families, including your own families, went about this in the wrong way? Not intentionally, but they made mistakes with the way they dealt with this information and their kids.
Look, there was, what, 50 kids interviewed? Of course there'll be people who went about it. What is the right way, Lisa, when your child's crying and vomiting and telling you things? You know, like, parents should ask themselves. If you've got a young child, ask yourself this. You know, your child makes a disclosure to you, something about they're frightened of a penis, frightened of that. And that's alarming, and then you hear it again. What do you do? Okay, well, maybe you take it to the employer, maybe you just ask for some help, maybe ask for some guidance. Then you're recommended, okay, you better do this, you better do that. What are you going to do? You know, like, these are just human beings reacting normally. What is the right and wrong way? Of course, people could have been more perfect in that group. Maybe 99% were perfect and one wasn't, and that led to the unsafe. I don't know. But the fact is, it was a lot of children.
So if
it was a lot of children.
You believe that these children were abused?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So who is the abuser?
Well, I believe that the courts got it wrong in terms of quashing the convictions today, but I understand the process of the high thresholds and the hurdles, and I might understand that a bit better than a lot of victims' families because of my legal training. But, yeah, I can see the complexity of it. I'm prepared to accept that myself. I'm not saying everyone is.
So you believe while the process was flawed, the outcome was right, the convictions were right?
Yes, I believe the convictions were right. I'm prepared to accept, with, as the court says, with hindsight, the thresholds were so high that they weren't met.
Have you considered the fact that someone else could have abused these children? And if not Peter Ellis, who?
Yeah, I really don't want to go down there with that. You'll be aware of what how the case was began and what happened at depositions. Charges were laid, charges were dropped. Yeah, I really don't want to go down that route. This is just about the court's decision today. As I say, it's a court decision. It doesn't change anything about people's reality. We're all getting on. People call it survival for a good reason. People are strong survivors. I'm not going to be defined by today or this decision, their personal experience.